smoothest music.
Yo, here we are. Going to a show with Jesus.
Yeah.
Trying to go see some live music. Oh, by the way, my name's Marcelo Quiñones. I do some music stuff. We put this podcast together to go see live music and talk about it. Because I know people are doing it all around the world, and especially all around the United States. I don't feel like that many people are doing it in Seattle. But me and Jesus are going to shows, and we're talking about it on a fucking podcast.
Yes, and we are focusing on the artists. We want to focus on the venues. We want to focus mainly on the city of Seattle. And we are hoping to bring you the vivid picture of our experience on every show we attend. I am Jesus, and I am here with Marcelo. We went to a show this weekend.
Yeah. On Pride weekend.
Pride weekend in Seattle.
In downtown Seattle, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Which I was a little worried about traffic-wise. Because that's how I am, being a dad now and all that stuff. I'm like, well, how much time can I... how long is this going to take? I got through all that, and it wasn't actually that bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to find parking at the Crocodile when you drive from the suburbs. But it was all pretty smooth. It was an early show. It was an all-ages show. And we went and saw the final installment of the Femme Tapes tour with the headliner. Well, I don't know if she was the headliner. I would assume she's the headliner. It's Paris Alexa, who's a local Seattle producer, singer, songwriter. Singer-songwriter, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Music producer. And Ivy Soul, and I believe Blossom was her name. I'm going to look at the flyer real quick here. Yeah, Blossom. She was the first. We saw all three, which is another thing we've decided we're going to try and see everybody on the bill.
And shout out to everybody that went on stage. Blossom was, I mean, first of all three of the girls were very, very cute. I really liked Blossom's little style of dress wear and all that. And she had a cool style. She was dope.
Yeah, I think they were all accomplished performers, it seemed like. Especially like Paris Alexa and Ivy Soul. But anyways, so a little bit, I mean, I guess a little bit about this thing. Wasn't there? I think there's like a write-up somewhere online that I can't find right now because that's how things are. But Ivy Soul was like, I think she had a line in, wasn't a song, but she was just like bantering on stage and she was saying something like, or maybe it is a line in one of her rhymes where she's like, I'm a queer black woman with a degree. She might have said some other word, but I'm not sure exactly what she said. But, a militant with a degree. That's what it was. And that's kind of her vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would say it's not as militant as like I'm used to hearing, I guess. But yeah, she's a good singer, great singer, really good singer, good rapper. Put on a good show, but she's from North Carolina, I think, right? Or South Carolina? One of the Carolinas. We couldn't really find a lot of info, like, bio-wise on her, except for, Charlotte, North Carolina. The 24-year-old rapper-singer is a rare hybrid of sultry and soulful R&B paired with undeniable hip-hop bars. I don't know who wrote this. As a Charlotte, North Carolina native and current resident of Philadelphia, Ivy's sound draws on a diverse set of influences from Southern rap to gospel to spoken word to boom bap. Yeah. So that makes sense.
I can see that, definitely. She kind of gave me like an old school, soul sister vibe. I get the whole militant thing, kind of like who am I thinking of? Oh, I can't think of her name right now.
She kind of reminds me of like
Erykah Badu. That's who it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I think for me, she reminds me of like the first two Queen Latifah albums, like from 1988, or I don't remember when they came out, but
interesting.
Like, I don't even remember. I can't remember. I'll pull it up at some point if it's that important, which I doubt it's going to be. But yeah, like an early, because like Queen Latifah early was like that. Like,
yeah.
Could sing, could rap. I don't. She didn't sing as much then, but she can obviously sing. Can rap and like always had was always on mess not always on message but always had a message.
Yeah.
And kind of like address the partner videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'll play you some old Queen Latifah videos. I think you'll get the vibe.
I would have to go back to
I don't know. I mean old Queen Latifah is like legendary, so
yeah.
Hopefully that's a good comparison. Hopefully she's not what I hate you. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Maybe she's like, I'm more like Erykah Badu.
I hate that comparison. I doubt she would say that, but anyway, she was great. It's cool, like seeing like either a Southern act or an East Coast act in Seattle, even like an LA act come up to Seattle and like deal with people standing there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially with their music. It's like, okay, wait. Because I feel like that happens in California, too. It's not just Seattle. It happens in some cities in California. I'm not going to say which cities, but yeah. Certain cities.
Yeah.
In L.A., like, pretty much everyone's going to be dancing at some point because no one really cares. And right. it's fun. People, like, I don't know. It's different. It's just a different vibe. In Seattle, it takes a little effort to get people dancing, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you got to really, like, be, like, you know, and, like, on them. Like,
yeah.
You're going to dance.
You have to
direct them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I'm not going to sing to you.
Or get out.
Which is not what happened.
Yeah.
No one said that.
The audience was, I mean, it definitely seemed as though people were there to see them specifically, you know?
Yeah.
And
it seemed
and
like
they,
there was a lot of Ivy Soul fans in the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I hope that it was a good welcome for her because I think it was her first time in
Seattle. Yeah, I think
she
said that, yeah.
Yeah. So I hope it was a good welcome for her. Otherwise, come back and come and talk to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like it was a good welcome. It seemed like a good show for her. But her DJ definitely was like, come on, guys. Let's have some fun. And I think that's good because I think people in Seattle need that. Like,
need that push.
Permission.
That.
To dance. It's okay, guys.
It's okay.
You could dance, which is weird because like the crowd was ready to dance, and it. But I also say this like, I don't know if it's Seattle, maybe not. Maybe it's just like now it's a little different, but yeah, it always takes like a little push to get people to like dance, and it takes. I think too when you're dealing with like slower, like kind of a little bit more like R&B, like neo soul influenced stuff. It takes a little like courage for a lot of types of people to dance to that stuff, you know, because they don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're like,
oh, wait, this is slower. It's not house music. It's not, you know, it's not hip hop really. I mean, it is hip hop.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like what someone would consider, like it's not a bunch of trap,
right.
You know, mute beats and stuff.
Yeah. Slower moving.
Yeah, it's slower. And so, like, people warmed up to it. She definitely got everyone pretty hyped by the end of the show, and pretty much everybody was dancing or moving, at least, which is awesome.
Yep. Yep. It was
which
very
is not good. At all like the last show we went to. So, that was great. It was a good palate cleanser.
Yeah.
We have some pretty cool shows coming up to watch too, but I thought she was good.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to any of her recorded music yet. I was gonna listen to it on the way here, but I instead listened to some Paris Alexa stuff. But I'm gonna go back and check her out.
Ivy Soul. Make sure you check her out too.
Oh yeah. Let's see. What's her website here? Is it ivysoul.com? Good. ivysoul.com, but it's S-O-L-E. And check her out. So, yeah then there was a weird industrial mix in the middle of the two bands, which the by the way, this show was at the Crocodile. I don't even think we said that.
Nope.
This show was at the Crocodile, and I haven't been to the Crocodile in 10 years, turns out. I just realized that when I went to the show. So I am not a Seattle live music aficionado, turns out, because I haven't been to one of the, like, you know, staple venues in Seattle.
Pretty much both, yeah.
And I hadn't been there in 10 years. I haven't been there in so long that I went into the room and I was like, oh, shit, this is not how it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be a different
setup. It took me a second, though. Like, I questioned it, but then I was like, no, I might be wrong.
I might be remembering it wrong.
Yeah. And I feel like at the same time, we were both like, I feel like the stage was on this side. Like, we both kind of realized that at the same time. Because it took me a while to kind of go back to what the Crocodile used to look like. But yeah, it was a cool venue back then. It looked pretty cool now.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. Yeah, it's a great venue. I think the capacity is like 560. I think that the show was definitely packed. Definitely not a capacity, but that's fine. It's Sunday at 7. I think the headliner went on at like 9:30 or something.
Given the circumstances, it was a good turnout.
It was a good turnout. A lot of people there. People were there for the music, which is good. A lot of local Seattle music people in attendance. I mean, obviously us. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other people there, like different rappers from the area. And I saw some music industry people there too, which was cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, Paris Alexa is a Seattleite, I believe. Yeah, she is. That's her hometown. Here's her bio. The history of pop music is one of reinvention, replete with instances of people who, cut off from resources and representation, have turned inward, mined themselves, and remade culture in their own image. And so the story goes with Paris Alexa, Seattle's premier triple hyphenate singer, songwriter, producer, who continues to forge her own forward-looking brand of R&B-tinged pop with the raw materials of the past.
So dramatic. Okay.
There's other stuff there, but I'm not going to read it to you. Just go to our website. It's parisalexamusic.com. It's P-A-R-I-S-A, Alexa, like Amazon, music.com. She was great. I think all the tracks that I wanted to hear, she played. She played a new track, which was good.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that track blowing up somewhere. She does like an interesting, she does a lot of vocal layers, some live and some like, you know, that were tracks that she was like singing to. Like a lot of it was live though, I believe. And like it's definitely like once she's like singing all the layers and when the songs that were mixed live really well were mixed live really well.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a wall of sound at times, you know. It was dope for one person on stage with, you know, her laptop, or it wasn't a laptop, but whatever trigger device she had. It was cool. Yeah. I totally really want to see live band at some point during this podcast series. I would think that, first of all, with her song Water Me, like a guitarist, at least a guitarist, a bass player, and a drummer, it's going to be dope. It's going to be dope with her tracks and those dudes on top, especially the right guys, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I know, it's like, dude, like, it's hard to... I'm not trying to say, like, you should have done anything. All I'm saying is, when you do that, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be dope.
It'll be dope.
Yeah.
Because I think it will be a little more powerful, and probably like I always felt like when I was playing with a trio and I was singing and playing guitar, and you had a drummer who was singing and a bass player who was singing, because we had part, you know, doing all this. Once we had like more players on stage and we were each person could like relax a little bit and like yeah. lean into their parts a little more and like feel free to like, you know, just like express each phrase in a different way and play with it and shit. It's better
makes a
as
difference.
A show, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, it's also like super resource rich. Like you have to find people to play with you and
yeah.
pay them usually, or at least pay them in some way.
Yeah.
You know, pay hopefully with money.
If it's otherwise, call me.
But yeah, it's a good show. Anyways, that's not what happened, which is not bad. It's just would like to see it sometime. She's yeah. good though. She rocked all the songs. The room was definitely with her the whole time. I think whoever was there not to see her, which I don't know how many of those people were, but whoever was there not to see her would probably check her out.
Yeah, yeah. I was definitely kind of hooked.
Yeah.
From the moment she just, you know, she just walked out and just started doing her thing. And
we're drinking cocktails, if that's the sound you just heard.
Some mezcal. When she walked out, I was like, oh shit, she's going to intro the band or something, you know, or the DJ at least or something. And then she just started, and I was like, oh, okay, right. Let's hear this.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, she, I was hooked, and she kept me in the show, you know, like, it's not what I would listen to in the car necessarily, but it's most definitely something that engaged me that night. And she was dope, man. She's got some cool beats and, some cool tracks, and I definitely want to see her again with a more, expanded performance in the future. So I hope to see that soon.
Yeah.
And I hope to see it live too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was listening to some of her tracks, especially Water Me, and, the live instrumentation on the track, which, you know, maybe samples or loops or whatever, but whatever, those played live will be dope.
Yeah.
With all that. So I'm trying to think a little bit more about the show. It was kind of interesting. There's a lot of different people there, but you could definitely tell there was a lot of like Seattle music people there checking yeah. her out. A lot of like her fans and people she knew, because she's a hometown girl, which is awesome. And it was a good vibe. She had some pretty sweet pants on.
Mm-hmm.
She looked great.
She looked very good.
She seemed super charming on stage, which I'll be like, I was telling Jesus earlier, like, I don't know why, but like the impression I got from like her Water Me video and some of her other videos, which she'd be like, and I'm not trying to make a comparison. I'm just saying, like, I was like, oh man, I wonder if she's gonna be like this prima donna on stage and like blah blah blah. But like, totally, that was not at all
right.
How she's like seemed like the coolest, most down to earth person. But
yeah,
I don't know why I got that vibe from her videos, but that's just me, probably. Yeah. It's all my own shit, so don't change. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't, but
I feel like the videos probably did their job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I thought about it. Yeah, true.
And yeah, but she was definitely very cool. And her parents were there, right?
I think her parents were there. Yeah, she called.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really cool.
It was the end of the Femme Tapes tour, so it was the last show. I don't know how many, shows they went on. But, you know, I'm not trying to like do so much research for this this podcast. No. I'm doing some research, but really what I'm doing is going out and seeing live music and telling you guys about it.
Yeah.
And hopes that people in Seattle start going out and seeing live music more often. And also, I just want to go see more music.
Yeah.
But
I feel like their third to last show was at least Sacramento, though, because they
kind of called that out. Yeah, but they must have done, I'm assuming they did a couple different shows, like from where Ivy Soul's from, you know, maybe Philadelphia, whatever it says she lives there. And then, I don't know. I don't know why I can't find the Femme Tapes tour poster. I'm going to look for it while Jesus talks to you.
All right, so I just want to say I really enjoyed the audience, just a variety of audience members that were there. And it was really, really cool to see, and I enjoyed that a lot. Paris Alexa, your audience is awesome. I am trying to see if I can get in contact with Paris Alexa.
What? Jesus.
I'm just saying, man. This was my experience that night.
That's true.
And it was just great to see, you know? I mean, I'm a single man, and I was all over it. And so that part was definitely very fun for me. The music was awesome. The part of the city, so is the Crocodile area considered downtown?
No, it's Belltown, right?
Belltown.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like you've lived here like your whole life, and you're like,
it's literally the first time I've been
considered part of Seattle.
Literally the first time I've been out there since ever. I mean, driving through, you know.
Yeah, but no, I'm just giving you shit.
But yeah.
So the Femtapes tour was a West Coast tour. So Santa Ana, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, Sacramento. Whoa, I've done that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So it's a lot of driving or flying, depending on how you do it.
Flying would be fancy, though.
But yeah, so I'm sorry, but I just found it, so I decided to say that.
Cool.
You were saying the vibe, Belltown.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, just... So we are mainly doing this to explore the city, get the vibe, get, you know, the energy and yeah, all
for,
that.
For good or for bad.
Yeah, for whatever it may be. And I feel like sometimes I can jump to conclusion. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, parking was horrible. And, like, it was just chaotic almost, which is like that anywhere. But it was interesting getting there.
Yeah, it's no Koreatown, but.
No. Nothing is Koreatown.
But nothing is Koreatown. So that Koreatown, Los Angeles. But it was interesting getting there. There's a lot of construction in Seattle. I feel like anywhere in Seattle, including the greater Seattle area, which I call Seattle because otherwise it'd be like, what, like 200,000 people living in like a couple neighborhoods in right. Downtown. So Seattle is everywhere. That is the, you know, come on, guys. Like, let's be honest. It's a big city. It's a greater Seattle area, if you want to be a real city, in my opinion, population-wise.
Yeah.
And then we all, it seems like everyone travels everywhere to go to do stuff. And there's always traffic pretty much everywhere, just like any other city. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's there. It's graduated.
Yeah.
It is an official big city. And it feels like that in downtown Seattle. It feels like, I don't know, it's an interesting time right now in Seattle, I feel like. Which is an interesting time to have this podcast in Seattle right now, especially with the live music scene being what it is, which is not very good. I'll be 100% honest.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people come through town. Not a lot of big artists come through town anymore. It's not worth it to them a lot of times. They'll come to Tacoma. They'll go to Portland. Like you were saying, too, a lot of them will skip Seattle and go to Spokane. Or other places, but it's just it's far away from the rest of the U.S. on the West Coast. You know, I mean, it's close to Portland, but like, come on, like,
right?
If you're gonna play, if you're a big act, you have Portland, Tacoma, Seattle. Like your expenses in general are probably gonna be cheaper in Portland, Tacoma, and if someone really wants to see you from Seattle, they can come. And the population difference is like negligible, really, for a show. You know what I mean? For a music show.
Yeah.
It's like whatever your draw is.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the case, really. Like people should be trying to come to Seattle because Seattleites have money to spend on live shows.
Yeah.
Do they spend them on live shows? I don't know. But
well, do you think artists are not getting booked or they don't want to get booked out here?
I don't really know where they would play. Like Showbox is like a big room, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a couple places to play I mean, there's plenty of venues. I mean, Numos is a big room.
Yeah.
And they're all, I mean, there's shows here. I'm not trying to say it's like a wasteland, like no one's coming to Seattle. Like, I don't want to paint that picture. I'm just saying it's changed a lot. And it's changed, in my opinion. Like, there's less good shows to see now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more people here. And there's more money here.
Yeah.
And I feel like overall there's less people at shows that I've been to. Not all shows, just some shows. Like, off-night shows specifically.
Yeah.
So, like, Saturday night show, or I'm sorry,
Sunday.
On-night shows. So, feel like,
yeah, so I guess it's tricky, right? It's tricky to get people out. I mean,
not, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tricky anywhere, though. I mean, LA is a hard place to have a bunch of live shows. I think San Francisco is a hard place to have live shows. I mean, everywhere is hard to have live shows. I don't really know what the scene is like in San Francisco, but I know the scene in LA really well. And it's hard to get people out there, but there's still a shit ton of shows. There's still shows every goddamn night. I mean, it's a huge city. It's not a comparable market, and I'm not trying to make that comparison, but, like, we go play to, if you can get the word out, people will go out in LA. The problem is there's, like, a million things to do. So, like, same in New York City, I'm assuming, or from my experience, you know, being there, playing there, whatever, is you... Yeah, I mean, there's a million things to do. So the problem there is, like, how do you get this person to come to my show when everybody else is playing the same night?
They have so much else to do.
Mm. Here, it's like, how do I get people to come out of their apartments down the street to my show?
How do I get them to take my flyer?
And not only that, like, like, for a lot of people, it's like getting the people from outside of, like, the downtown, or, you know, the city, the actual legit city area of Seattle, getting the people to, like, want to drive in, because it's like it takes effort to want to come in and see a show. But I mean, they don't really need to. There's, like, enough people in Seattle that if people wanted to see live music, you know, they would come and see it. I just don't think it's, like, it's just changed culturally in a weird way that, like, it doesn't, like, a lot of people are just, seems really, I don't know how to say it, like,
it's not the same pastime it used to be.
Yeah, maybe? I guess, right? I feel like it used to be a thing in Seattle. Like, people would go out and see shows.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is, like, a lot of younger people who could afford to live in Seattle, and those people were going out. And then, like, a lot of, you know, middle-aged and older people you know, in the music scene, I guess, were also playing shows, and those people had their own followings, and those people were going. And I mean, so it was like a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know is Art Walk still happening in Pioneer Square? Like, how am I so ignorant on the city that I've lived in now for 2 years?
I feel like Pioneer Square is kind of a mess right now.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been down there too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of construction going on down there. And so I think there's a few clubs still up.
Yeah, I know that. I know there's a few clubs, but I mean.
But there's just so much going on down there as far as construction that I feel like, is it worth it?
You know? That's the thing, right? Like, a lot of people are like, I don't think I want to go. I don't want to go to the city. I mean, I hear that a lot in my neighborhood, but I'm pretty far away.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I think that's the big thing with Seattle, is like getting people to come out, bringing big enough acts in, and getting, you know, enough, like, quality openers to make it worth the money too, you know, for people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that bill was fine. I think the price is the price for the ticket. Like, if you want to go out and see a show, you're going to pay $20 or less. You know, for a local show, maybe you'll pay $10 for, like, you know, a legit local show.
Yeah.
Someone who has no pull anywhere else or whatever. But you're going to play. I mean, it's going to be like $30-$50 if you go out for a show. Like, that's just how it is. It's what it's going to be. If you go to the freaking movies, it's going to be the same thing too, you know? You know, but at least you can, like, talk to other people and see other people and actually be engaged in culture.
Yeah.
there's a, like a lot of other like events going on in Seattle, like they're always, especially in the summertime. So I think that's the other thing too. It's like, I remember playing shows in the summer and like focusing on festivals and stuff because that's what people do. Usually they go to festivals or they go on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus the most likely the people with money have a family and, you know, so they'd much rather go watch a live music show in the daytime, more accessible for everybody. And, you know, dad can have a beer next to his kid. You know, you can't do that at the Crocodile.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, you could have, I guess, at this show. It was all ages.
Oh, I guess, well, yeah.
Oh, but they wouldn't have allowed beer, though. You couldn't have. Yeah, you couldn't have done that.
Probably, yeah.
Not in the all ages section, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, it's cool to, like, slowly explore the music scene because we're doing it pretty slowly. Because, or re-explore and, like, re-find out because it's changed so much. It's interesting to go to, like, some of the old places that we used to go all the time and play shows all the time and watch, you know, friends, bands play shows all the time. And having been away for so long and then coming back and then going to the same places and being like, oh, wow, you had to change your whole business model to, like, stay in business.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, you legit were staying in business for a long time just off of live music or, like you know, small live shows. Yep. People would come and it'd be packed and there was community. And I feel like that's not there as much.
Nah. Yeah, and I mean, I probably half of it is, you know, if there's, it's just so, I don't know. It feels like people are just kind of scatterbrain, you know. Now everything is accessible in their phones or whatever, and
right,
you know, and so to go out to a show, I mean, for us, you know, and I feel like industry people, you see the value in networking and therefore socializing.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are like, I'm trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to,
especially up here, I feel like.
Yeah.
Especially in like Seattle, like, but most people are like, nah, I'm gonna go to the river for the weekend.
Right.
Yeah. With my friends who I know, and I don't care about everybody else, and I'll listen to Spotify while I go down the river and have a good time.
Yeah.
But then I also know a ton of people that do that who are also, who have, you know, community and play shows, and so there is a, and all those people I've known for, you know, years and years and years, and they're still doing it here, and they, even them, they're like, yeah, it's definitely different, you know. Yeah. I have to go to another place to kind of find that community, not Seattle anymore.
I'm curious if listeners have any feedback on that.
Oh yeah.
You know, if they can kind of shine a light on that and see, even if it's opinion based, you know, doesn't have to be their own story, but I'm curious as to what people in Seattle think about the music scene, the nightlife scene in Seattle.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So yeah, hit us up on the Twitter and Instagram that counts that we don't have yet, but we will have them.
They should be up,
and we'll be soon. Yeah, we'll put them on the show, and it'll be easy to find us.
Yes.
And talk to us online. But in the meantime, you can talk to us at our personal accounts. I'm mostly a Twitter user. That's pretty much really only what I do anymore these days, which is at Kanika Music, CanicaMusic. So like the normal spelling of music. At Kanika Music. That's me. Marcelo Quiñones, my website's marcelocuñones.com, and you can hit me up there. I mean, I have Facebook and all that stuff, but I just, like, I'm not there very often.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta stick to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit me up on Twitter at silencer138. That's SILENZER 138. Same thing on Instagram. And we will have accounts for the podcast very, very soon. And we'll get the Instagram stuff going relatively soon. And hopefully we can share a couple of pictures with you guys of the shows we've been to so far. and you'll get to see what we're doing and talking about.
Yeah, and we have new music coming out sometime in the next month or so, 2 months probably. Let's be honest. But yeah, another track featuring Silencer. Cool. Well, I think that's a podcast.
I think that's another good one.
All right, man.
I appreciate it. Move it.